The American economy could be set on a path not only for recovery, but for an extended period of economic triumph. All that's needed is agreement on about a half dozen policy changes that do not carry a partisan tag. Joining us live this morning, Jim Vandehei, executive editor of Politico. And Jim, as you explained, behind the curtain, it's not so much that politicians don't know how to get this done, it's a matter of political courage.
Yeah, what's striking is Mike Allen and I have spent the last 3 months talking to officials at the White House, congressional leadership on both sides of the aisle, and then lots of CEOs. We talked to Warren Buffett, Lloyd Blankfeld, Jamie Dimon, many others who are in constant conversation with these officials. And what's striking is how in private they all say the same thing. They believe that we could get not just an economic recovery, but potentially an economic boom if Washington did the right thing over the next 6 months. And those things include real corporate tax reform, which is not on the table as part of these fiscal cliff talks right now, doing more on entitlement reform, especially Social Security, so people who are investing in U.S. debt feel more confident in its future, do something to take advantage of what I think is one of the most underappreciated stories of the last year, which is the oil and gas boom domestically. We could be the number one oil producer in 8 years. That's something nobody was thinking about a year ago. And then also doing more on trade. There's talk of doing a European trade pact, and then doing something on immigration, particularly getting more high-skilled immigrants with expertise in science and technology in the United States, creating companies and creating jobs.
You know, I'm thinking about people who are listening to what you're talking about this morning and saying, man, don't they have an obligation to do what's right for the country?
One would think. I mean, I always tell people when they ask me, like, what should I know about Washington that would frustrate me? And I say the thing that would frustrate you the most is that the people in power, in private, actually agree on what needs to be done. The things I just outlined, on Truth Serum, most people in positions of power would say that we should and could do these things. The reason they don't are the ones that, you know, we've talked about a lot on your program, which are, you know, polarization in Congress, the fact that both sides think the other side is not on the level, and also this awful Washington habit of taking a political win instead of a bipartisan policy compromise victory.
Well, a lot of House members also feel an obligation to their own constituents, and since districts have become more red and more blue over the years, those constituents may not jive with opinions for across the country.
Right, and I think that's probably the biggest change in Washington politics over the last 20 years is that there are the death of moderates. There's nobody really in the middle left in Washington, particularly in the House of Representatives. So when a conservative might strike what people think is a crazy position and a liberal strikes what might people think are a crazy position, it used to be they did that because they eventually knew they'd end up in the middle. Now they just do it because that's actually what they believe and they don't want to budge on it. So on a lot of these issues where the leadership, the committee chairs, the corporate America, the activists might be in agreement, it's just hard to get it through the House. But that's really where leadership comes in. It's not like the president and the speaker and the majority leader don't have significant power. They do, and that's where it takes political courage to get some of these things done. And I think that's why the American public gets increasingly frustrated with Washington. When you have the Warren, in this column, we've got Warren Buffett on the record, Lloyd Blankfeld on the record, Jamie Dimon on the record, all these people saying the exact same things that they're hearing in private and telling these folks in private that if you do these things, right, that $2 trillion in capital that's sitting on the sidelines, they're going to invest it. It's going to lead to economic growth and job creation. But so far, no real movement.
You're so right about leadership. I mean, those of us who have recently seen the movie Lincoln looked at what real leadership could do in a time of crisis. And you wonder if leaders stepped up and decided to be leaders, how much we could accomplish, like the ideas you're talking about this morning.
No doubt, and I think that is, you know, I agree on the movie, Took Our Kids. It's like a great example of what it takes. I mean, legislating is tough stuff. It's not pretty. It requires surrendering on issues you might care a heck of a lot about. But that's really the opportunity that you have with Speaker Boehner and the president. And if you want to be an optimist, I will say that despite all of the public hand-wringing, the two of them still have a pretty good relationship, and they both have a huge incentive to start to do serious things, particularly on tax cuts, on tax rates and on entitlements. But then next year, doing stuff on energy, doing stuff on education and trade, if they can get through this first couple of months, avoid the fiscal cliff, it will give them some momentum and a tighter working relationship to maybe tackle some of these other issues, including immigration, by the way, which is going to be on the table in a big way as early as late January.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Take care. Have a good one, guys.
Jim Vandehei, executive editor of Politico.